Today we continue our series of messages on biblical values that shape the future. And today we're going to talk about maturity. Now, we're going to look at if you want to turn your Bible to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read this from the New Living today in just a second. Are you interested in maturity? In growing up? You parents, are you interested in your children growing up? You know, you expect them to grow up that you don't have to keep on changing their diaper. What a blessing that is when the day that comes. And they go crying out on the streets, "Oh, he went to the potty for the first time. All by himself. What a blessing." Or he actually ate with a fork today. What a blessing that is. Or they actually cleaned up their room. And nobody had to tell them to do it. Woo! Man, we've just gone over the top, hadn't we? What do you think God thinks about maturity? Think He's for it? Do you think He wants us as Christians to grow up? Is there a time to quit being spoon-fed and to go on with the Lord? Well, I hope today you'll listen closely. I believe God's got something to say to us today. Listen to this from 1 Thessalonians. This is from the New Living. By the way, if you need a Bible to give someone, I got a case of these back there. These are New Living translations. "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you." Pretty good. "You're doing this already, and we encourage you to do so more and more. For you remember that we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans do, in their ignorance of God and His ways. Never cheat a Christian brother in the matter of taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is rejecting God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you." You see, these are practical statements. "But I don't need to write you about the Christian love that you should be shown among God's people, for God Himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, your love is already strong among all the Christians in Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we beg you to love them more and more." In other words, to go on in this love. "This should be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hand." Woo! What about that one? "Just as we commanded you before. As a result, people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you'll not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs." Wow. "And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to Christians who have died so that you'll not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope." Imagine this. He puts this together. This is that great passage that you heard read at all the funerals. Verse 14. "For since we believe that Jesus died, was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in their graves. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with a call of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. First of all, the Christians who've died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort and encourage each other with these words. Woo! Praise God. Now, let's take a look at this passage. I'd love to spend 2 hours with you on this passage, but in these few moments we have together, I want you to see these things. You have not arrived. Hear what he says again. Brothers and sisters, we taught you how to live in a way that will please God. And you're living that way. Now we ask you to encourage you in the Lord to live that way even more. What's he saying? He's saying, it's a pretty good report card here. You're doing okay. You're growing. But it's time to grow more. It's time to step it up. You haven't arrived. What happens when you think you've arrived? You get lazy? You slow down? Complacent? Haughty? Pride? Well, I've arrived. I'm where I need to be. Really. Kind of like I went, when I had a motorcycle, a guy told me, he said, Dusty, don't ever think that you've learned how to ride it. He said, because things will change. Just like that. And it'll ride you. You've not arrived. Secondly, God has shown you how to live a mature life. He's shown you what to do. Scripture says, brothers and sisters, we taught you how to live in a way that will please God. You know what? I suspect most of us, in fact, probably 99% of us here do not need more information about how to live the Christian life. Did you hear me? We don't need more information. We need to act on what we already know. We need to start doing it. Start applying it. Start living it out. Well, but I don't know this about that. Oh, no. Well, big deal. You're never going to know it all. Doesn't mean we stop studying. Doesn't mean we stop spending time at work. But God wants us to go on with Him and apply. Because living a mature life isn't having it up here. How many people have I known I met and said, oh, no, he's not walking with the Lord, but he knows a lot about the Bible. I think Adolf Hitler read the Bible. What I'm concerned about is getting the Bible in these feet and in these hands and in this mouth and in my action every day. Are you following me? What if your kid comes into you, that kid that you were trying to raise and trying to get them to so they could stand on their own 2 feet when they leave your house, and your 13-year-old comes in and says, but I can't put the toothpaste on the toothbrush. Huh? How would you respond to that? I mean, what would you tell him? Man, it's time to grow up. What do you think God's telling us? Grow up. Let me tell you what's waiting on us. I'll mention this again at the end, but the times have changed. The clock's ticking. Number 3. You must have a changed life if you want to grow up. Hear this. God wants you to be holy, to stay away from sexual sin. He wants each of you to learn how to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. Another way to say that, the proof's in the pudding. He zeroes in on one particular sin here, sexual sin. Or we could talk about any sin in that place. It's time to see a changed life take place, to listen to the Holy Spirit. You go to the refrigerator in the middle of the night, and you're standing there, and you're looking in the light, that glow. And you're saying to yourself, you know, I really don't need to be eating this right now. Let me ask you, do you need more information at that point in time? What do you need? I need power. Now, it would be wonderful if Miss Audrey would wake up and would follow me in there. And as I reached in there, you know, thinking I'm all by myself, the hand of God would just come, bam, and say no. Or a fly swatter on the back of the head. And there are times when I hear something, I look behind me. Have I got your attention? You know, a good way to start with a changed life is to start living a changed life. Is to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is already saying to you. Number four. Part of the way that we're shown to be mature in Christ is through love. Scripture there says, we do not need to write you about having love for your Christian family because God has already taught you to love each other. And what's he saying to the Thessalonican church here? He's saying, I can see your love. How could he see their love? What was he looking at? What was he looking up at what they said, listening to what they said? How could he see their love? By what? Action. They showed that love. It was revealed. It was coming out of their lives. And he's saying here, the love can't stop. It's got to keep on growing. It's a good measure of your maturity. It's love. The closer you get to Jesus, what does Jesus always lead with? Love. Always. I'm not talking about a mamby-pamby, just roll over for anything. That's not what I'm talking about. When we stand out there this afternoon on the side of Abercorn Street, that's not a mamby-pamby kind of attitude. You're standing there in the love of Christ. And Dane was right earlier. 9 out of 10 of the people that come by and toot their horn and they say affirming things to you. But there are some others that come by that are not so affirming. And the signs they're giving you are not one-way Jesus. But God's called us to love all people. Love is the mark of growing in Christ. Number five. The little things do matter to God. Look what he says here. Do all you can to live a peaceful life. Take care of your own business. Do your own work, as we've already told you. How about this week? If you spent as much time getting your business in order as you spent trying to get somebody else's business in order. Ooh. There's some spouses here that they're saying, you know, if my spouse would just change in this way, it would change our lives. That's a ridiculous statement. Because you know what? Who do you have the power to change? Look in the mirror. That's where it starts. And you pray for others to change. But let's start here, right here. Kind of like, you know, get you a piece of chalk, draw a circle on the floor, stand in it and say, God, start right here with everything's in this circle. Start with me. Start with me. The little stuff does matter. The little stuff of growing up in Jesus. Something as simple as growing in Jesus as spending some time every day in this book. That's a little thing each day. But does it mount up? Will God speak to you? Spending time in prayer each day before you start the day. Will it make a difference? Hey, the paper today, did you see it? We saw it a few weeks ago. The Pagan Pride Festival. Coming to Savannah. What do these people need? They need Jesus. They need the power of the love of God to cut through all the garbage of man's religion, man's way of spirituality, which is putting man at the center of it, and saying, we need God. We need God to fill that emptiness. The little things do matter. Some of us are waiting on the super spirituals to fly in with their capes and their outfits and to take over the city. To whom has God given the city? Whose responsibility is it? Ours. Ours. We're waiting on that cataclysmic thing to happen in our home that's just going to turn it upside down when God is wanting to work in the small things every day, every step. Some homes represented here, you could change the whole attitude of your home just in the way you spoke. Finally, in that chapter, he concludes with our hope. It begins in verse 12, 13. Our hope is in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about those Christians who have died so that you'll not be sad as others who have no hope. Here's the deal. God's getting us ready for forever. When did your forever begin with Jesus? When did it begin? The moment that Jesus Christ came into your life, your forever with Him began. And your hope did a 180 at that point. Hear me on this. It did a 180. Because your hope before was in your way of doing things. Your hope then, You transferred all of that faith and trust over to Him. That's the gospel. That we have a hope in Christ who will save us and make us new people. And we've transferred that faith and trust to Him. And so we have hope in Him, hope for the future, but that hope begins right now as He is wanting to transform us in His image before all those who will see. Because the greatest testimony that is out there is not all the sermons, not all the songs sung, but is the changed life of someone who is acting grown up in the name of Jesus. Because you see, time's getting close. Paul was giving to them encouragement about those who had died, who had gone on before. He said, hey, Jesus is coming back. You know, it's a lot closer than it ever was. The time clock has changed. And I told you last week, this is my personal feeling. I believe somewhere about a year or so ago, it was tied to stuff in the world. It was tied to stuff in the economy. You can see all the change. That our world took a change. And it's not been the same since. And the clock is ticking. And God has given us our marching orders. We need to go to the world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, biblical values for the future. And the future is now. The future is right now. He's calling on us to grow up, act like it, and get engaged in His plan for the world. And that begins in your world, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your quiet time, in your time with the Lord, with you. We have hope in Jesus. Those who have received Jesus into their lives will live together with Jesus forever. Those who have received Jesus into their lives can come to Him through all the storms of life, and He will bring victory into their lives. Those who have received Jesus into their lives are expected to grow up. When you stand before God, and all of us will, and He's asking you what you did with what He put in your hands, what are you going to tell Him? The opportunities that are right now. It's time to grow up. It's time for it to stop being somebody else's fault for the things that aren't right in your life. That's an easy cop-out. It's easy to say, well, oh, my family did that, and my work situation, and my church isn't doing this. Well, you can find all sorts of reasons. But the bottom line is, God's not looking at all those people. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. And He's not asking a question about them. He's asking us. Isn't it time to grow up? Isn't it time to get well? Isn't it time to be healed? Isn't it time to be the warrior God's called you to be in this time? Isn't it time to start living out what we say we believe? And feet don't lie, do they? Let's bow our heads. As you have your head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you these final questions. Are you growing or shrinking spiritually right now? What are you doing about it? Would you like to grow? Do you have the hope that Jesus can change your life? He didn't just give you salvation. He gave you a new way of life. It's time to start living it out. It's time for you to engage. Time to put your hands on the resources that are available to you. Reach out to others that are in your life. You know, the things that God has, the opportunities that He's given you. Be part of the body of Christ in a large group. Being a part of a life group. Being a part of other people being involved in your life. Begin to serve Him with all the opportunities that are available to serve Him. What about it? Lord, we open the altar now. Well, You've spoken to my heart today about growing up, about being the man of God You want me to be. I'm asking You now, Lord, as we open the altar, that we'll respond in faith. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Speak to us. Move in us. Look this way, if you will. Has God spoken to you today? Huh? You heard something directly from the Lord? Then, time to act on it. Do it. Nike theology. Just do it. Do what He said. Be obedient. He loves obedience rather than sacrifice. The sweet savor of our obedience before the Lord. Because it means we're putting our faith in Him. We're choosing Him. Choosing Him. He loves you. He wants the best for you. We do too. Go in God's grace today.